All right, while we're getting settled in, my name is Michelle Mercer. I'm the planning manager. And just by show of hands, how many people here tonight are here for the matter of the preliminary plat of Eagle Butte Estates, a subdivision? And then how many people here are here for the zone change application? All right, seeing as most of the audience are here for the subdivision, I would propose to the Planning Commission that we begin with ZC 2025-001, which is a zone change. I believe this will be a little bit more quick of a matter to hear. That way we can get the one person here out of the meeting for that, and then we can continue on with the subdivision. Do you guys have any objections to switching the order of business? Okay, with that, I'm going to turn it over to Brittany for her role.
Martin, make sure you open up the meeting.
All right. So we're going to go ahead and open the meeting for the 24th of August.
August
26th. 26th, I'm sorry.
That's quite late.
I'm just 2 days behind. Yeah.
All right, I'm going to start with roll call, and then I do have a few questions and a few things I need to read off first. So, Martin?
Present.
Lloyd?
Here.
Brian?
Here.
Kelly?
Present.
And Robert is absent. The Benton County Planning Commission is an advisory body of the Board of County Commissioners. Any recommendation made tonight by the Planning Commission will be referred to the Board of County Commissioners for final decision. The meeting tonight is being conducted in both in-person and virtual platform, is being digitally recorded, and consequently, in order to obtain an accurate record of proceedings, all individuals who wish to address the Planning Commission must be recognized by the chairman before speaking. All individuals must speak clearly into the microphones provided, identify themselves by name and address, and for those who are attending via WebEx, please make sure that your microphone remains muted until you are called upon to testify. Please make sure that all cell phones are turned off. Any information tonight presented, such as written material, photos, charts, and drawings, scale modules, etc., will be included in the public record and will be obtained or retained as evidence and must be left with the Planning Division. And then these questions are going to the members. Does anyone have any interest in the property or the application at issue? Or do you own any property close proximity to the property subject to the application?
No.
The applications, no. Does anyone stand to gain or lose financial benefit as a result of the outcome of this hearing?
No.
Can the member hear and consider the application in a fair and objective manner?
Yes.
Has anyone engaged in any ex parte communications with either the proponents or opponents of the application?
No.
All right, I am finished, so I'll hand it over to Michelle.
All right, so first order of business tonight is the zone change application ZC 2025-001. This is an application by Knutson Engineering on behalf of 5D Development at Cottonwood. The project's located in the north and east of the intersection of Weiser Parkway and East Dietrich Private Road in the Kennewick area of unincorporated Benton County. The applicant proposes to change the zoning designations of two parcels from light industrial to interchange commercial. These properties should look familiar to you as we approved a comprehensive plan land use amendment on June 3rd of 2025. This zone change is the follow-up from that comprehensive plan change to ensure that the zoning is consistent with the new land use designations that were approved by the Board of Commissioners. So if approved, staff would need to update the official zoning map in a subsequent ordinance amendment to reflect these changes. This proposed change would allow commercial uses to be sited on these undeveloped properties, which would be consistent with other uses in the area. With that, the Planning Division has met all public notice requirements and is recommending approval of the zone change before you this evening. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
So we have any applicants would like to testify at this?
Sure. The applicant is present tonight. This is Paul Knutson of Knutson Engineering.
Hi. Paul Knutson, Knutson Engineering. Do I need to state my address or anything? Okay.
Address would be good.
5401 Ridgeline Drive, Suite 160 in Kennewick. So we've been working with this client for the past 5 years on this area of land. There was four larger lots there to begin with, and then buildings have started to come in. A lot of that stuff was all zoned light industrial to begin with, and then Quake came in. You're probably all familiar with the Quake Event Center, Family Center that's there. More uses similar to that kind of use are being proposed, and the hard part of doing the comp plan amendment, changing the land use, was done recently. Our public hearing was several months ago, but Michelle mentioned that. We agree, you know, making this now a interchange commercial zone is consistent with the land use, which it should be, because right now it's an incompatible zone for the land use that it is. So it's more of a housekeeping thing to clean it up to make it correct, so then we can subsequently come in and prepare and submit for our conditional use permits for the future projects that's coming on. And involves a 50,000 square foot indoor pickleball facility that kind of complements the Quake area and may be a nice amenity for the growing pickleball community in town, which I guess is really taking off. So yeah, we agree with the conditions that she's outlined, and we would appreciate if you'd support the zone change. Thank you.
One other thing staff would like to add, in the staff report, we did highlight that prior to 2018, both the comprehensive plan designation and the zoning district for these properties were interchange commercial. After 2018, they were changed to light industrial, so the applicant's requesting to change them back to what they were prior to 2018.
Okay. We have any other applicant or any other people would like to testify regarding this?
I don't see anybody online that would like
nobody
to
testify. Nobody online either?
Okay. Nope.
As I recall, there wasn't any objection or much comment at the meeting when we were going over this. So this should be just straightforward approval.
Yep. Does that mean you're going to make a motion?
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I move that we approved zone change ZC2025-001, proposed zone change.
I'll second that.
Yeah. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? No. Okay, let the record show that passed unanimously.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Paul, you're more than welcome to stay. However, you don't have to. All right. The second application before you tonight is subdivision 2025-003. This is the preliminary plat of Eagle Butte Estates. The applicant is Tri-City Development Corporation. The owner is Eagle Butte Vineyards, LLC. The project is in a similar area. It's in the Kennewick area of unincorporated county. It is located south of Sagebrush Road and west of Clearview Lane. The applicant is seeking to subdivide 66.36 acres, which are currently in a vineyard use, to 55 residential lots. The area is zoned rural lands, 1 acre district, and the proposed development meets the minimum lot size of 1 acre, with the largest lot being 1.34 acres. The proposed subdivision is going to be served by new public roads and a Group A water system from Summit View Water Works, which is a private water proprietor in the area, as well as individual septic systems. The county has met all public notice requirements, and I'd like to call your attention to exhibits that have come in after the comment period is closed. So that would be comments that we received after our staff report. You should have copies of them in front of you. This includes PCH 1.1 through 1.5. It includes a public comment from a neighbor regarding construction hours. It also includes a recension from the Benton County Assessor's Office about their original comment. It includes revised comments from the Benton County Public Works Department, and then a objection letter to some of those requirements from the surveying company on behalf of the applicant, Rogers Surveying. And lastly, it includes the amended findings of fact with the updated comments from the Public Works Department and the Assessor's Office from staff, which was provided for you in writing tonight. Okay. With that, the county is recommending approval of the subdivision based on the amended findings of fact and conditions of approval, which are dated August 26, 2025. And I will turn it over to our Public Works director, who will go through the Public Works revised comments for you. So Matt Mahoney from the Public Works Department will comment and walk you through their proposed changes to their comments.
Michelle, did you want me to go through all of the proposed changes?
I think if we could just specify the four changes that you guys made, that would be good.
Okay, I don't have those in front of me. I apologize.
My phone just died on me.
I
had it up on my phone.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, council members or commission members. Yes, after communication with a representative from Rogers Surveying, Mr. David Ballman, we revised our comments. One of the comments that has been amended was comment number 15. And we amended that to read, the drainage easement on lot one shall not connect to Clearview Lane. Developers should provide stormwater calculations and design that maintains all stormwater within the boundaries of the proposed subdivision. So this was an amendment to our original comment that talked about them providing a pond on one of the lots. Our comment number 16, we deleted in full. And that was one that required them to provide paved temporary cul-de-sacs at each end of Golden Eagle Circle in phase one, unless the road is going to be built in its entirety. Number 17, we amended. It says existing maze court will need to be widened to 28 feet wide. And that, for example, could be widening and overlay, reconstruction, et cetera, in accordance with Benton County standards, standard plans, R2 roadway section, urban local access. And that's just an amended comment. In the original one, we stated that it needed to be fully reconstructed. So we're allowing this, we allow the option for just a simple overlay and widening. And then number 19, we deleted that comment in full. And that's the one where maze court reconstruction will require all infrastructure of the right-of-way to be addressed and moved outside of right-of-way and approaches installed for an existing accesses. We deleted that in full because anybody that has anything in the county right-of-way is really a code enforcement issue and is not the responsibility of the developer themselves. So it made sense for us to fully delete that. So I don't know if, do you want me to continue on with some of the concerns that the owner had, or do you want me to wait on that?
Yeah, I would wait until Dave has had a chance to talk for you to come up.
Great. So we may have some questions for you.
Yes.
So if anyone have any questions for?
Well, I do. Mark. Is related to the conflict between the 20-foot width and the 24. Right. So originally it was believed, at least by the surveyor rep and the owner, that the road was going to be 24, required to be 24, and then we got change to 28 foot width based on the R2 roadway section urban law access. And so there's been, over a course of a few years, that change happened. Is there a justification for that?
the change from 24 to 28 as our urban standard. Yeah, I mean, the main reason for it is I do not want to pretend this is a level of service issue. Level of service typically means increased traffic, which would then create intersection improvements, let's say, or improvements to the roadways. That's not why we made the change from 24 to 28. The reason we made the change is due to the increase in pedestrian and bicycle traffic on our more urbanized roadways. So really the extra width provides for that environment in lieu of us requiring developers in that area to provide curb, gutter, and sidewalk. So that was really the main reason why we went from 24 to 28. Level of service is not a concern from our standpoint on this development at all in our decision for the 28 over the 24. So,
yeah, I believe that was the reasoning.
Yeah,
but I wanted to hear it just to validate my thought, and because I do live in Badger Canyon and Badger Road is frequently visited by bicyclists, right, pedestrian traffic. And even it is quite narrow.
Yes.
And then we have Cottonwood Drive, I believe, below the Cottonwood Springs development where I live. And that's busy with pedestrian traffic. And so having the extra width is actually smart. I'm the president of HOA at Cottonwood Springs. And there's that 4-acre common area that is not developed that we put split rail and some gravel in there because I wanted walkers to get off the dang road, right, and use the gravel that we put in there for safety reason because there's some corners there too, right? So I get that. I just has that been expressed also in that manner language to the surveying company, the rep of the developer, landowner?
I'm not sure if that specifically, because that really hasn't been a question from them as far as I'm aware of why we went from 24 to 26 from, say, 2007, 2008 till.
Other than they don't like it because they're going to have to pay more money to make it wider, right?
That, yeah, and they got some reasoning, and I will let them speak to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, the surveyor representing the client is in the audience tonight, so once we open the public hearing, I'm sure Dave would like to
answer my question. Thank you.
Great. Okay, so anybody else? I have a couple questions before you leave. Okay. All right. So 60-foot right-of-way, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. In your comments, you state that nothing shall be installed there that's taller than 2 feet or that's permanent of some type, and that yet this right-of-way is actually, it's usable for the homeowner, correct?
Yeah, that is correct. And I will tell you that is always a question on, you know, the utilization, as we call utilization of unused right-of-way. I'll be frank with you, we're working on that policy now to really help kind of bring that all together. We hope to bring that in front of the board soon. The real goal for us when people are putting things in the county right-of-way isn't the fact that they're there, it's the fact of us having the ability to ensure that they're not an obstruction, a hazard for the traveling public. So we concern ourselves with clear zone, and that's the distance away from the travel way to the obstruction where a person that leaving the road would have time to recover prior to hitting that object. So fences typically aren't really an issue, or other things aren't really an issue. The 2-foot requirement has a lot more to do with site visibility issues, and we see that a lot in the county. Anybody who's grows corn, sometimes they grow stuff right up to the edge of the road. You come up to an intersection, you can't see. Fences are a problem in those situations. So that's really our main focus, and it's going to be our main focus moving forward, is just having that ability to ensure that those things that are put in public right-of-way aren't creating a hazard, whether that be a physical hazard or a visual hazard. And so that's where the 2 feet comes from, is kind of a, that's really the premise of the policy that we're working on as well.
So is this common with the other lots around this subdivision, or is this something that's fairly new?
It's important. We started doing that on a lot of more of the recent ones that we've been doing. It's a common comment that we put on all of them moving forward. I think it's really been a comment that has occurred over the last couple of years. And the policy moving forward, when the board approves the policy, that will then become a countywide policy, and then would really be enforced countywide. So. But this is kind of the best way for us to ensure that people aren't initially putting things into where we come back in a year or two and then it's a code enforcement violation. So really it's for the benefit of the residents who ultimately buy these lots and then start putting in all of their improvements.
So if they wanted to build a fence or something, they just have to be back from that easement.
Yeah, or even right now, if they even call us, we can come and help them locate it and make sure that it's in a, you know, that it's in a safe spot. Typically fences, especially, it's when they start putting in the estate fences, like the block walls. Yeah. And those are, if those are well within the county right away, those definitely are what we consider to be immovable objects, which create an extreme hazard to the traveling public if they're within the clear zone.
Yeah. That was one of the questions I was, because I've seen a lot of those houses, the subdivisions right adjacent to them, have block walls.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So on page 3, number 4. Are you going to try to carry that through with policy so that if homeowners install a vinyl fence that's in the right of way but not obstructing, they do so at their own expense and accept any damages and or maintenance to it?
It's hard. I'm trying to be careful here because nothing is concrete. We haven't presented anything to the Board of County Commissioners, but so I'm not sure the best way to answer that.
I would say it's a fairly common practice.
Yeah.
It's something that I've seen many times. Yeah. But the one thing that is disturbing at times, and because I've dealt with it, is utilities coming in and starting work without talking to the property owner.
Correct.
In the right of way. So it does damage their landscaping, yes, whatever they've done, right? And then sometimes the company doing that installation walks away with a big mess and doesn't coordinate and communicate.
And those are things that we, you know, certainly are looking at as well. I mean, because when we allow somebody through a permit process to locate something in the right of way and utilities exist as a matter of franchise rights, with the county, of course, we permit the work they do, and that allows us to actually have more oversight of any of those types of disturbances with the public. Right now, we don't know a lot of times what individuals put in the county right away until we see it with our own eyes, and then we find out that the utility companies, and you know, there's some pretty major ones that we all know about that have come through recently and tore up people's improvements.
And it starts with the last letter in the alphabet, I think.
Yeah, yeah. So we think that moving forward in that direction will be a win-win for everybody, because then we have direct oversight, especially having permits on file and being able to track those things to make sure that when those companies do come in and do that type of work, that we actually are putting that in part of their permit requirements.
One last question. What is the $3,500 per lot? Why?
Yeah, I'm gonna have a difficult time speaking intelligently about that. I know that those are mitigation fees that were calculated out as the total impact is this area that we're talking about. grows. That was analysis that was done prior to my time. I haven't sat down and fully looked at that analysis, but I do know that that analysis was done, and it provides for just the growth that we're seeing in really this subject area and the impacts that the traffic has throughout that whole area, and that's intersection mitigation. We also have the South Badger with Richland that is providing some impacts on county roads as well, and they're doing impact fees. So I think this is kind of the answer to the county not imposing impact fees, and through the rezone process, I believe, is when they have, through the SEPA process, is that right, Michelle? Through the SEPA process of the rezone, have done those calculations. And so what it does is that money is collected. It's not something we touch, and it's there specifically for doing all of the necessary improvements to the county road system in that area, intersection improvements and those types of things. So, and those will have to occur once there's enough money there, or once total growth is done, then that work will begin. My belief is it'll begin sooner than that, as we see needs coming up and can foresee needs in the immediate future. We'll be starting to use that money to make those necessary improvements.
I was just curious because I used to do that. So, I mean, those fees, I was just saying, okay, if you're a developer, you kind of like to know what those fees are going to be used for. So,
yeah, no, I agree.
Okay, well, thank you.
If you'd like to open the public comment portion now.
So I wonder, I don't have any more comments. I wonder, is there anyone else in?
We need you to open the public comment portion.
We will. So with that, we will, open up public comments right now. So.
Dave. Good evening. I'm Dave Ballman from Rogers Surveying, Baalman, 1455 Columbia Park Trail, Suite 201, Richland. I am the land surveyor who has prepared this preliminary plat, and I am here tonight representing Tri-City Development Corporation, as well as the landowner Eagle Butte Vineyard LLC, both of which are owned by the same personnel. So first, I would like to point out, to clarify, based on your question, Mr. Skeels, that we're not objecting to the width of the asphalt being the current county standard within the plat. Our objection is to improving currently dedicated public roads that were built on prior plats without any justification from the county for that. I've laid out in my letter there, which I don't know if you folks have had a chance to read it yet or not.
Yep.
You have, so I'll be brief then. I've laid out the argument that the county cannot condition these requirements, or cannot condition this development on requirements without proving that they are necessary. The county has not really offered any proof. I've shown some what I think reasonable proof that these are not required for level of service or anything else in that area based on this plat. Maybe they are needed for, you know, additional pedestrians in the area, et cetera, as Mr. Mahoney points out, but that's an existing condition that is not created by this plat. If these issues are made worse by this plat, then it can be conditioned upon that, as long as that conditioning is proportional to the impact of this plat. That's all in those cases that I've cited, Nolan and Dolan being the federal ones. There are several Washington ones. I cited three. I believe that there are about 15 of them in the state of Washington in the last 20 years, all dealing with this issue. I'm happy to answer any questions you might have on that. I did, as I point out in the letter, go out and confirm that the asphalt width is 24 feet on that road and all the other roads within that phase that we're hooking onto. And that was what was the county requirement at the time it was built, and that's how it got built. That's what the plan showed, and that's what got built. So if and I can't really refute any conditions or any evidence that the county's presented, because there's been no evidence presented for me to even discuss. It's just a, hey, make it this wide. We wouldn't be opposed to that if it can be shown that that's our problem, but I don't believe that it is. So I'm happy to answer any questions, and I would imagine that some of the public here might have some questions. I'm happy to come back up and speak some more.
I just kind of, if you don't mind, so the development is going to go in the middle of another or several, right, existing
correct
homes, and you got 77 lots going in there.
55 lots going in there. The 77 is how many lots front on Grandview Lane.
Gotcha.
To the west.
That's where I knew I saw it. Mm-hmm. Somewhere. Anyways, so we're going to have 55 new homes with that traffic, potentially utilizing it for pedestrian, right, traffic, bicycle.
Public roads, people right? Walk on them, ride on them, certainly.
There. So that will be an increase of what their existing. It just seems like I'm not going to, you know, defend anybody. I'm just, my mind is saying we're going to see more foot traffic. We're going to see more bicycle. Just because my experience living where I live, we see it. In fact, being in the county, we see motorcycles, ATVs, all sorts of stuff. And I'm expected as the president of HOA to deal with it. It's not my job. I could say call the Benton County Sheriff. Because that's their jurisdiction to enforce those rules on motorcycles, right?
Sure.
Now, if they want to run them in our park that we have there, then I have an issue because we have signs saying don't do it. But that's the only concern I have is there is going to be a good potential of more traffic, and having a little wider road, living where I live again, out in Badger Canyon, Badger Road, seeing a lot of pedestrian traffic. It's smart, safe decision, make it a little bit wider so we have accommodation for that. That's my only concern. It's a safety issue.
I understand that, and I don't necessarily refute that, but what I'm pointing out is that a couple hundred feet of road.
Oh, I totally agree.
And that argument, you know, you're not the County Public Works Department. That argument has not been made by Public Works. They've just thrown a requirement here. It's hard for me to bring in our engineer and have them talk to road design or anything else when it's just a thou shalt without any justification. So our request per my letter is to drop that condition 17 from your recommendation to the Board of County Commissioners and otherwise to approve.
These lots look like they're going to have sidewalks?
No, there are no sidewalks proposed. There's no sidewalk
sidewalks.
Cross section in the county's public works at this time. And the last plat that we did that had sidewalks, they were a problem within the county. The sidewalk wound up right on the edge of the public road right away, where part of the sidewalk's in right away and part's out. And every lot corner that I set out there has been wiped out by that sidewalk now. We've had to reset all of them. And there were grading issues related to it. So until the county comes up with a sidewalk standard road cross section, I would recommend not having any sidewalks within plats, because the road cross section needs to be there so that everybody knows what you're going to build and so that the engineer can design to it instead of a afterthought sidewalk. After the plat's already approved and the condition or the plans were already approved, throw that sidewalk in at the end. It was a great idea, except that it wasn't thought out all the way, I don't think.
Sorry.
Any other questions for me?
See the more of a consistency with the other roadways. Rather than having a 24-foot wide, then all of a sudden widening it out again.
Well, we can widen out. There's an intersection not far from there that widening could happen in the intersection, or we could taper right at the boundary of the plat and add that additional 2 feet. But that's within the plat, and we're happy to do that. But making improvements on already dedicated public road, and as Matt was pointing out, there are existing lots fronting that have code enforcement problems that those landowners are not going to be happy with my client's contractor coming in there and starting to grade all of that stuff out. I'm sure we'd talk to them first, but that's if the county wants a wider road there, it's your right of way or their right of way. They're free to go widen it. But without proving that it's on Tri-City Development Corporation to do that, it's not a proper request.
So would Public Works be acceptable to them going back to the intersection and then running the extra width from the intersection out?
Well, that's your request is to go from the westerly intersection at Mays and Grandview, and we're saying either extend the existing width to the east to the intersection at Mays and Golden Eagle Circle, our proposed new road, or tapering there in the middle.
Just a point of clarification or two, I don't have the plat map in front of me, but it looks like Mays is one of two accesses to this.
Yes, there's another access to the plat on the east side, yes. On Calico, I believe is the name of the road.
Your streets in the development will be 28 feet.
Yes, they'll be built to whatever the current county standard is, which is 28 feet. Anything else for me? I'll hang around for any other questions from the public. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. Next on our list is Caleb. Would you like to testify? Caleb's the engineer of record for the client.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Caleb Mapstead, PE, and I work at 400 Columbia Point Drive, Suite 101B, Arc Housing Consulting Engineers. I appreciate the removal or the revision to the condition for the drainage easement. That's definitely beneficial. It doesn't put the developer into a corner to build a certain facility just because it's worded that way in the condition. So I really appreciate that. One topic of the roadway width off of Mays, the existing roadway that is 24 feet wide and the proposed 28 foot width of the roadway in the plat. I would I would say that if that's something that the county is wanting, that's the whole point of generating these mitigation fees for each lot, would be able to fund those kinds of projects to widen existing roadways within existing county right of way. That's about the only thing I think I need to add. So thank you.
Thank you. All right. The next on our list is Ron. Would you like to testify?
My name is Ron Olson. I live at 84205 East Wallala, which is approximately 100 feet from the development. But one thing that was brought up, they mentioned Summit Water. I've only lived here for 4 years, and every year I get the warning in the spring saying the irrigation water is low. Conserve your water. What provisions are made to accommodate this new plot as far as irrigation water goes? And we get Summit View Water has two wells that feeds the whole area. Are there any plans to dig any more wells? So that's really my comment. I'm just concerned about the future. And then my wife just mentioned that if there's some way we're speaking of roads, if there's some way of making some kind of markings on the road so we can see where we're going when there's heavy fog or strong wind. It's so easy to run off the road. Wallala Road has culverts on each side of the roadway. They don't, the property is, the grass lines are quite a ways back from the road because of these culverts. And it's really easy, and it surprised me that there's not more cars going into it. So that's what I have to say, and thank you. I'm sorry. I'm hard of hearing, so.
Okay. I'll try and talk into the mic a little better. Can you hear? Is that better?
That's great.
Okay. So is this a case of possibly the roadway not being marked
adequately? The roadway
adequately?
Is not marked at all. There's no center line. There's no white lines down the side of the road or the edge of the road. So it's really easy to, and it's really easy to drive off the one corner at the bottom of Wallala that goes into Clearview. Mm-hmm. Trucks now have turned and they've cut that corner and they've gone down in that ditch and collapsed the ditch and so forth. So it's visibility, I think, is what is a real issue here. They should really be concerned about that also.
Okay. Thank you for your comments.
So is Public Works going to stripe that area at any time?
Come on up, Mark.
This is a, just to give a little background, of course, I'm Matt Mahoney, I'm the Public Works Director. I spent 32 years in Franklin County and came to Benton County in 2022. And I'm privileged to be here. I've been a Benton County resident my whole life, so it's good to be back on this side of the river. This is part of some of the policies that we're working on. Is typically an agency as ours would have a striping policy. As a rule of thumb, those striping policies typically are a product of the type of road that it is. And we talk about functional class. Those are like our principal arterials, which are our highway system, our major and minor collectors. And those typically are the ones that you will see centerline stripe and edge stripe. Local access roads really becomes a product of the average daily traffic where they reach a threshold where they would require. I'm not gonna throw out numbers because I don't know what those numbers are. We're trying to look at the best available studies and transportation science there is out there to determine what those thresholds are and when they should be striped. But I would say as a rule of thumb, typically most local agencies, counties, cities do not typically stripe local access roads. And a lot of these meet that classification as local access. But that being said, we're in the process of doing the best we can to find all the research available that's out there to put together the best policy we can for all the residents. So I will say that I appreciate hearing from the residents because, as we say, I don't know what I don't know. So I appreciate what he said, and we'll definitely be looking into his road specifically. So,
thank you very much.
Next on the list is Francine. No. Mike? Mike, are you Mike? Would you like to testify? Please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Mike Jaka, J-E-K-A. My address is 83504 East Wallowa Road. I have lived there for approximately 7.5 years now. And the one thing I see constantly, almost every day, is people speeding down the roads and ignoring the stop signs, doing rolling stops. With 55 lots, figure 2 cars per household, over 100 cars going through here, that's gonna get just absolutely worse. People don't follow the speed limits. People are, as was mentioned, bicycles, people walking their dogs. There's a lot of people walking their dogs. I think it's gonna become an increasing severe problem with the possibility that there's gonna be potential accidents and injuries. So On Waloa Road, we have a 25 speed limit sign up there, but on the rest of the roads, it's the standard 35 or when you get further down on Sage, it's a 40. If you get down to, I think, your area in Cottonwood, Weiser, just before Weiser Drive, where it's the one big building, can't think of it, you know which one I'm talking about?
Yeah, I think so.
Right. Well, there's a stop sign there. Yeah. I use that road all the time. And I would say, this is an estimate on my part, probably 85 to 90% of the people do not stop there. I stop because, to me, it's a discipline thing. If you start going through stop signs like that, even though there's no one, there's no one around, you're going to be more likely to do it in more city traffic.
You know where it's worse? Coming off the highway onto Badger.
Right.
Right before to the, I guess it'd be the west of the roundabout there, where Keene comes in, they all right there where the gas stations are.
Yeah.
Coming off the highway, people do not stop.
Right.
They're terrible about that. And we have the same issue, and I've had to deal with that with the motorcycles, the dirt bikes, the kids, you know, the youth that are not even legal to drive on county roads. I've stopped them, and I've had the conversation as the president of HOA saying, hey, I can't, you know, write it, you know, a ticket, but I'm telling you this, stop at stop signs, look both ways, or you're going to die, right? Mm-hmm. Follow the speed limit. The speed limit is 25. So go slower.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do wheelies in our neighborhood. Those are the kind of things I've been communicating every chance I get.
Right.
Now I'm getting the bird flipped at me and they're not stopping oftentimes. That's the kind of stuff we get to deal with. And it's similar to what you're experiencing and going to see more of with more houses, you know. But the county does their thing. The builder does their thing. They're going to put the stop signs in the right places. These interior roads will be 25 miles an hour. You'll get stripes on your main arterials like we have on Cottonwood Drive, on Badger, you know, the fog lines and all that. But our interior roads, we're not going to get that, right? And we as a society need to do better, right?
Exactly.
We need to do better.
I have one question. On the map, the plat, it shows phase one and phase two being in the interior of the whole area. Is that actually also for the properties around it, or is there supposed to be a phase three and phase four?
No, there's only two phases for this development. So phase one will be built out first, and then the developer will build out phase two when it's finished. It's just the two phases.
Is there any projection as to completion of the entire area?
I believe this is the last of the area to be built. Wallowa Lane was actually the last phase that was just built. I believe after this, there will be no other areas to be built out in the Greater Summit View project area. So it will be completely built once the last phases are done.
But is this development, is there a projected completion date for all of the houses? Two phases?
No, there's not. So the preliminary plat has 5 years to be completed, and so we anticipate the project to be completed within the next 5 years.
Okay.
And it's dependent on purchasing of lots, right? So it's the need, the growth.
Okay, thank you.
And it's unfortunate that the speeding and the failure to stop at stop signs is an ongoing thing around the county, but until the county commissioners approve funds for additional deputies, you won't get any enforcement out there. I myself in my neighborhood have a state trooper and a Benton County deputy, and they're speeding all the time.
But don't stop calling the non-emergency line.
All right, the next person that signed up is Vijay. Would you like to speak?
I'm a resident at 84803 East Willow Road. And I'm not exactly familiar with the documents that you're referring to, but those have not been provided to the general public, right?
That's correct. A few of the documents just came in today. We will be publishing them on the website tomorrow.
Has there been an economic impact study done for this development?
No, economic impacts are not a requirement of the county or the planning department to analyze for land use development.
Okay. You mentioned something about the appraiser. What was their involvement?
The Benton County Assessor provided comments that there needed to be a few signature blocks on the plat map. That comment's been removed because it's a requirement of the final plat. So they just notified us that that's a condition of the final plat and not this preliminary plat.
Well, one of the concerns I have is in terms of valuation of the lots. There is going to be, I think, some impact on property values. Have you addressed that or looked into that at all?
No, again, the planning department and the county don't evaluate assessment for property values when it comes to land use development.
That's odd because, I mean, one of the things that the assessor has done in evaluating the land values of the properties that formerly were adjacent to the vineyard that's been removed now was that it was considered view property, and consequently the land valuation was higher than non-view property. So what's going to happen to that? I mean, that obviously is going to be impacted, right?
Very possible.
So I mean, the fact that you wouldn't look into that as a consideration in approval or, you know, non-approval of this project, you know, seems to be pretty significant. You don't think that it's a matter for the planning commission or the planning department to even look into?
It's not required by state law, and it's not a common practice in the state of Washington when we do development and land use permits.
Okay. All right. It seems odd, but the other question is on this map here that was provided, it looks like the lots that are going to go into this new development are going to all go up to the boundaries of the existing homes. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah. It's going to be on the lot lines of the
right,
other
the lot lines. Okay. Yep. And you were saying something about a right of way. So the right of way that you're talking about starts at that property line?
The right of way will be the new county roads.
Okay, so it doesn't impact the property owners. You're talking about just the right of the right of way only applies to the roads?
That's correct. The right of way is the dedicated land to the Benton County Public Works Department for roads only.
Okay. All right. And which is the section that's going to be developed first then?
Typically it's phase one that is developed so first.
Which is phase one?
It's the northern half.
It's the northern half.
Yeah.
That borders Sagebrush?
There's nothing that borders Sagebrush. So phase one is contained by Mays Road and Golden Eagle Circle.
Closest to the freeway. Section closest to the north.
Have them flip the map over.
Dave, on the other side, the plat map is on the other side.
He's looking at the colored copy that was provided.
Okay. So phase one is going to be roughly half of the total lots?
That's correct.
About half of the 55 lots, approximately. And what about the traffic implications? Has there been any evaluation of that?
The Benton County Public Works Department evaluated the proposal, and they've provided their comments to the Planning Commission in written form about their evaluation of what those traffic impacts that they anticipate would be, which is why they have those list of conditions for the developer to meet to mitigate those traffic impacts that they believe will occur due to this development.
Okay.
Thank you. Last on the list is Chris. Would you like to testify?
Yeah, I guess I would. My name is my name is Chris Wilkins, and I live at 10507 South Grandview Lane. So my neighbor wanted me, so in the document that was sent to all of the people that live out there, it refers to some public open space, that there will be none in this development, but there is some public open space in close proximity to the south of the proposed development. And he's just asking where this public space is.
So the DNR property that's located immediately at the bluff of the end of the Summit View neighborhood, down the hill to the KID canal, that property is owned by DNR, which is public open space for anyone to use. Okay. The county is also in the process of acquiring that property and will be hopefully turning it into recreational trails for the public use and benefit. There's also a parcel of BLM land adjacent to that DNR land that's again open to the public to use, and there's existing trails and utilization of that for your guys' neighborhood.
Okay. Well, I think that's all that I have. Thank you.
All right. With that, that's the that's everyone who signed up for public comment tonight. We do have one person online. If they would like to testify, they can raise their hand. All right. Pat, go ahead. Pat, you may be muted.
Sorry, I had two mutes on. So I submitted a letter. Does that get read by the commissioners, or would it be helpful if I just explained the letter?
Yeah. Yes, the Planning Commission received your letter as a addendum in their packet. However, if you'd like to summarize it for their benefit, you're more than welcome to do that.
Okay. So the Eagle Buttes Estates is located within Benton County, but outside of city limits. And over the past months throughout the summer, they've begun work, including heavy machinery at 5 o'clock a.m., both operating heavy machinery and burning debris. Submitted SEPA document stated that they would work during normal working hours, but normal working hours were undefined. And Benton County policy exempts construction noise from any kind of hours. So nearby municipalities have established construction specific quiet times ranging from 8 to 10 p.m. to 6 to 7 a.m. And so I'm asking that as part of approval to move forward that normal working hours be defined for this project as not starting earlier than 6 a.m. and not continuing past 9 p.m.
Any questions?
So typically during summer hours and in times like this when we have extreme heat, municipalities and contractors will adjust their time to start much earlier because of the heat. And that is a safety policy that's written, not really written, but accepted by the contractors and municipalities. I have seen work hours start as early as 5 o'clock in the morning so that work can be done and stopped in the hottest part of the day. When it starts getting up in the mid to upper 90s and into the 100s, you run the risk of heat exhaustion and heat stroke of all those construction workers that are out in the sun all day long. Even though they have and are required to have cooling breaks by LNI, the contractors still need to get work done. And that's why some contractors are starting earlier during the summer months. Typically, construction equipment, if laborers aren't required, will start later because today's technology, that equipment is air conditioned. But when there has to be a laborer out on the ground with a shovel, then you'll see them starting earlier than typically 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, and I understand why. Just as a resident around that area and with the understanding, as stated before, that this could go on for 5 years, it'd be nice to have some peace in the morning before 6 a.m. To kind of enjoy the residence and enjoy my property. Since as we purchased the property, we purchased that in a rural area, kind of a peaceful area. So starting before, I believe starting before 6 a.m. Is kind of a reasonable restriction, taking into account that they can work through 9 o'clock at night, just because of the duration and the construction noise. It's disruptive to the residents around the area.
Thank you for your comment, Pat.
Yeah.
All right, that concludes all the public that signed up to testify. So you guys can either call on anyone that you wish or have close the hearing and have a discussion.
Do we have a representative from Summit View Water here?
We do not have a representative from Summit View Water Works. However, I did pull up the letter that we received as part of the application submittal, and it does say that they do have adequate water provisions to serve this development.
Okay, is the potable water and irrigation water separate, or is...
Yes, they call out the domestic water availability and the irrigation water availability in the letter dated April 23rd, 2025, and should be part of your packet.
So, gentleman commented earlier that they were advised that they had water problems for irrigation. Is that KID or Summit View Water?
It would be Summit View Water, but it's not outside of the scope of water purveyors to curtail their users as they see fit. I know that the county's properties are located in Badger Canyon Water Works, and we often get notices to curtail our water during summer events as well. And that's at the discretion of the private water system.
I can speak a little to that if you'd like.
Yes.
I don't officially represent some of you waterworks today, though I know the operators of that as well. I can tell you that all of their capacity is controlled by the State Department of Ecology, and they're permitted a X number of residential lots for potable water and X number of residential lots for irrigation water. They're well under that capacity. A big part of the irrigation operation issues that come up with any irrigation district is that they need to look farther forward than today. You know, the landowners say it's 100 degrees, I need to water my lawn, whereas the irrigation purveyors need to look at, here's our reservoir capacity, here's our pumping capacity from the well, here's the well's recharge capacity. And they need to consider the fact that when they send out, hey, please curtail your water use, they know about what percentage of people actually do curtail that use, and it's not 100. So that's a significant portion of why they send those out, leaning on the side of underwater, not overwater. So that's what I know about that one.
I'm assuming that they would have a schedule for that development.
I don't know if they do scheduled water days in that district or not.
I would think they would. They should, because we do.
Sure.
Down there, you know, the Badger Water Company does that. So within our neighborhood, we have 188 homes, and it's zoned out in, I think, 5 different increments, time zones. The, you know, and not everybody abides by it, but most of us do. Most of us do.
stuff. That was going to be my suggestion, is they probably have a management problem,
yeah,
not a water problem.
Right,
and
exactly.
So that's probably what needs to be addressed.
And I think that they're erring on the side of caution more often than not as not to get where they've completely utilized all their capacity on any given day or week when the temperatures are very high. Anything else? Thank you.
On number 5A3. The Benton County Fire Marshal has required a water system to be installed for the development. Now, is that the water system needs to be installed before construction?
The water system will be installed along with the county roads, and the fire marshal will work with the developer for the installation of adequate fire flow.
So are they allowing construction of residential units before the water system is in place?
No, the water system and the fire provisions will be installed along with the county roads before any residential construction, I believe, will take place.
So that kind of goes along with the gentleman that was talking about the noise. I'm not sure what noise construction he's talking about, but this subdivision hasn't even started yet. So is that other people around there that have been doing development or ripping out orchards
I'm not aware of any construction occurring on the site. Dave may know.
Yes, the vineyard that's been in place there for several years has been removed over the last couple months, and that's what they're talking about. That's what they're hearing.
So it really is no purview.
No, for current construction, no.
Right.
And I'm not sure whether that was the lessor that has been operating that vineyard, or if that was the landowner. I'm privy to that.
And just as a follow-up to that, so if it was agricultural-related noise, the county does not regulate agricultural-related noise, and typically there's a note on the existing plats that make a comment about agricultural uses. So if this vineyard has been here for some time, it's possible that the other phases of the plat mentioned that there may be agricultural operations and that, you know, typical noise for those operations would be occurring. I'm not sure if that would be consistent with the same as residential construction noises.
Okay. That would be suggested conditions of approval.
What page?
Be page 6.
Okay.
Q. Mays Court has an irrigation line under the roadway. Is there a problem with that irrigation line, or is you're just wanting that out of the roadway?
I believe ours and the developer's understanding of our comment is there is currently an irrigation line under Mays Court. When they tie into it, we want them to tee off of that, and as it feeds the rest of the development, for that irrigation line to be out from underneath the road as opposed to underneath the road. So it's back inside the right of way. But is it inside the right of way or out? I can't remember. Outside of the right of way. So
you want to tee off the line and abandon the line that is in Mays Court?
No, I believe the one in Mays Court stays in place. Yeah. Yeah, and once they connect to it, where their subdivision connects to Mays Court, that's where they would tee off of it and take that outside to feed the development in question. Yeah.
But you'll still have an irrigation line in Mays Court?
It won't be active.
Yeah, in the existing portion, correct.
Okay.
And that exists in a lot of places. In Rancho Riata, there's irrigation that runs right down the center of the road. And you know, best case scenario, we like it outside in case there are breaks, the road gets protected. But there are certain situations where it is underneath the road. So best case scenario for us is it's there. We're not going to make them move it. But where they connect to it, we want that outside. Yes.
Do you know what material that line is? Is it C900?
I believe that's what it is. Based on me talking to the county engineer, he believes that was the requirement back when this went in. So we believe it is C900.
Okay. Thank you. All right.
Sorry, sir, the public comment period is closed.
I'm sorry?
The public comment period has closed.
Oh, it's closed?
Yeah, these
guys were talking.
They were just calling on the county engine, or the...
Well, I have comments on what...
Unfortunately, the time's closed. I'm sorry.
Right. We have any more discussion?
Yes.
All right.
On page 8, be 3B. At the end of Benton County codes, I would like to see inserted WAC 24629049. That's ensuring that the Summit View Water has adequate management for the potable water system.
For the irrigation water system.
For potable water.
Potable water.
Potable. The drinking water.
Potable.
Right. Potable.
Lloyd, potable. Can you repeat that WAC for me, please?
WAC 246.
246.
290. 490.
Okay. My understanding is that section of the requirements is for the Benton County Fire Marshal. He doesn't oversee potable water. So would you like to propose a new condition to include that WAC?
Yes. That's for protection of the residents in that subdivision.
Okay, we've noted that.
I'm done.
You're finished?
I've finished.
All right. Any other comments from our group? No? All right.
Actually, I have one more for survey. So on that maze court, I don't know, but on the access maze court, in the survey and engineering, is there room for that to be 28 feet?
The existing county road right-of-way is 60 feet, and that is the same 60 feet that the current standard requires. There is room within that 60 feet for the ditches. There are improvements built by the landowners within that right-of-way that will be close to the back of ditch, but again, that's a code enforcement issue, not a private developer issue. But I believe that cutting the ditches in that were there when that plat was built will be very close to those estate walls that those landowners have built, possibly undermining whatever foundation they're on. I couldn't say for sure. I didn't walk up there and look. But as far as the width of the right-of-way, yes, there is room for the new cross-section as well. That hasn't changed. That right-of-way width is a RCW requirement from the 1930s. Hasn't changed in all that time.
Thank you. That was my question. So I have a... Typically, a county roads that require swales for water or drainage or runoff or what have you. However, the in subdivisions like this, the swales normally aren't very large to accommodate off-road parking, correct?
Correct.
The standard cross section shows a 2-foot deep ditch.
Yep.
With a 4-to-1 front slope and a 2-to-1 back slope. So, however, those all get filled in, I shouldn't say all, those often get filled in by the landowners when they're grading, landscaping, etc. There should be a culvert underneath them for the driveways. That's part of, I know the county Public Works Department's review process for a driveway approach is that there's a acceptable culvert to allow the water to flow through as the ditch was originally designed.
Okay. But whose responsibility is it to maintain that culvert?
That would be Public Works and or code enforcement, I believe. The county speak to that.
The landowners typically maintain the swale, if you would, from the asphalt to the landscaping, grass, vegetation free, 2 feet. That's what we have.
It's usually grass all the way out. I mean,
in some cases it depends, right. But in most cases, with at least Cottonwood Springs, is from the asphalt to the grass is vegetation free. It's gravel, and
okay.
Yeah, we stay on that pretty close.
That's one
of our HOA CCR fights that we have with landowners.
I believe the county has a spray program where they go through and they spray the vegetation from the edge of the asphalt to the property line and those swales.
You got to be careful with that.
And occasionally they'll spray your tree and
it'll drift into your yard and kill your yard.
All right. Well, I don't have any questions. I think our questions have been exhausted. So would anyone like to make a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I move that the Planning Commission forward a recommendation of approval to the Benton County Board of Commissioners for application SUB 2025-003, subject to the 7 findings of fact and 18 conditions of approval as stated in the staff memo dated August 26, 2025, which includes the preliminary plat approval for 55 residential lots, and that the chairman, in conjunction with the secretary of the Planning Commission, prepare and adopt written findings and conclusions reflecting the conclusions and recommendations made by the Planning Commission tonight.
Lloyd, can I just ask one clarifying comment for your motion? You mentioned that you'd like to include a new condition for WAC 2246.
Yes.
Would you like to include that in your motion? That way staff can add that to the...
That's why I changed it from 70 to 18.
Okay. We added it under the planning division's comments. You want to make it to 18? I can...
To make sure that the domestic...
So they include WAC 246, 290, 490.
Okay.
In the findings.
So you want to do that as the 18th? Okay, perfect.
Okay. Thank you, Michelle.
You're welcome.
Okay. All right. We have a second?
Yeah, a second.
Okay. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Let us show that the motion passed 100%. All right. Thank you very much. I don't know if Michelle's or any other items?
Nope. With that, we've concluded business for tonight, so we can close the public hearing. Staff would like to put you guys on notice that we did receive another preliminary plat. We don't have a date yet for you. We will be in touch via email, I'm sure, to let you know when that will be. It'll probably be the October or November hearing.
Okay. Thank you. With that, we're going to close the meeting. Thank